You're listening to the Sean Light Podcast, a show dedicated to helping fitness business owners escape the chaos of entrepreneurship, simplify the process, and finally, grow their business revenue to six figures and beyond. This show is about giving the frustrated entrepreneur straightforward solutions and giving you a real-time window into how Sean is building his company, 4A Health, into a seven-figure business. And now, your host, Sean Light.
Okay, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Sean Light Podcast. We have a dandy. We have a real out-of-the-box dandy episode for you all today. And I wanted to record this quick section of the podcast here just to lend some context to the podcast, because it is out of the box for what we've done in the past. But I want to explain to you why I think it's so important. So a couple months ago, I was embarking upon a new project, and the idea was to bring on a bunch of entrepreneurs from various industries, and the podcast was going to be called The Leadership Difference. We're a completely separate podcast, and I just wanted to be able to bring people on to highlight what I believe to be one of the most important concepts of entrepreneurship, and that is that really no matter what the industry, the game is played roughly the same. Now, the individual service or the product, the value that the business provides might be different, but the rules of the game, the way you market it, the way you operate are typically the same. And that's why I wanted to bring in entrepreneurs from various sectors so that you could see that. The podcast that you're going to listen to today, I interviewed a guy named Greg Ligon, and in the middle of recording the podcast, I knew that this did not belong on The Leadership Difference. I knew that it belonged on this podcast, the big platform where thousands of people are listening, because of the power of the message and the power of everything involved. Now, Greg is the CEO, founder and CEO of Solid Pastors out there in Texas, and we'll let him explain, you know, everything, and you'll know you're going to benefit a lot from hearing his message. But the last part that I want to mention, and this is really where my mind went as the interview was going, and I really didn't intend for it to go this way, but it did nonetheless. And that was, you know, in my experience, I'm very, very deeply read in the personal development world. I've read the Napoleon Hills. I've read the Tony Robbins. I've read, you know, you name it. I've read the books, and, you know, Earl Nightingale. I mean, just to name a few. And what I've noticed, it's becoming increasingly more obvious to me, is that most of these principles of self-help, personal development, growth, which are really the roots of entrepreneurship, stem from, as Earl Nightingale says, the greatest teacher of them all, the carpenter from the plains of Galilee, which is Jesus. And it has led me to actually buying the Bible and reading the Bible. And Greg helped me out, kind of guide me into what exactly I should be reading. And whether you are religious or not, if you're Catholic or Christian or not, the Bible has a tremendous amount of value, and the stories that are in there really lend itself to what I believe to be the teachings of how we are supposed to be as human beings. And I think that is what really drew me to Greg. I think that's what really drew me to recording this podcast. And it's what drew me to, honestly, scrapping that other project and bringing Greg's podcast over to this platform, because I think it's so important. So we'll let the podcast take it from here. I hope you enjoy the interview. I know that you really will, and I encourage you all to have an open mind as you go through it, no matter where you are in life or the world or whatever your beliefs are. There's so much value in what we're discussing here, and And I want you guys to have that information. So without further ado, let's let it rock. All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Leadership Difference. Today we are joined by Greg Ligon of Solid Passers. We just had a nice conversation off the air. I will say he's a Baylor fan. And for those of you who've been following the podcast for a while, that actually is a problem because they absolutely demolished my Mountaineers this year. But I'll do my best to look over it. Greg, thanks so much for being here, man.
You bet. I just have to say, sick 'em Bears. Way to go, Baylor fans.
You know what? This podcast is over. We're done. We're done.
Right. <here. laughs>
Oh, man. All right. So, Greg, founder and CEO of Solid Passers out there in Texas. I think I saw San Antonio, Texas. Am I right on that?
Yeah. I live in New Braunfels, just north of San Antonio.
Okay, cool, cool. San Antonio, one of my all-time favorite places to visit. I've been there a couple times. Spent some time doing some karaoke down there on the Riverwalk. So it's a good place to be. So, Greg, why don't you clue everybody in here and give us a little history on your company, how you got started into it, and just give us the background.
Sure. Yeah, so I've been a pastor for 30 years, serving in the local church, a variety of churches, large and small, churches from 30,000 to 300 or whatever. And I was walking through a transition and came across this opportunity to give back, to basically serve local pastors, just meeting them where they are, helping them improve their leadership, grow as leaders, grow as people. One of the challenges that pastors face is the job is very isolating, can be very complicated, just like that of an entrepreneur, but you've got a lot of other factors involved. Everybody that you relate to helps pay your salary because they give to the church. So it has some unique dynamics. So our goal is to come alongside one-on-one and do personal executive coaching with them. We are a division of another company called Solid Leaders. And that company was founded by our chairman of the board, Daniel, who all he does every day is coach CEOs. And so it's a 30-year-old CEO executive coaching firm. And so I'm kind of stewarding the pastor's side of that, which, so that's kind of a little bit of that. But it had been a generosity play on his part for some time. And now I'm taking it and making this idea into a full-fledged business. So 2020, we had two clients. Now we have, I've been kind of building it into a real business model structure, that kind of thing.
Cool. So is this your idea? Did you come up with this and present it to remind me the name of
Daniel,
the company?
Solid Leaders. No, Solid it's not Leaders, my idea. Right. So, right. No, I was in the midst of a transition, exploring different things. I was exploring a lot of franchise opportunities, different ventures. And this came across my screen, and basically I talked to the guy a couple times about some other things, and he's like, you need to come run my company for me. So I was like, well, I don't know you. I met you on Zoom twice, so I don't know if I'm going to say yes. So I began working for him part-time in November of 2020, and every week he's like, you need to do this full-time. I'm like, well, okay, let's think about it. So as of January 1st, I became the first and only employee of Solid Passers. So I'm kind of taking an idea from someone else and stewarding it, if you will, from a hobby or an outlet to a full-fledged business.
Gotcha. So, okay, and just so you know, I always forget to say this in the beginning of the podcast. I take notes as we talk. I always feel bad, like, because I'm off screen. I don't want anybody to think I'm texting or anything. But okay, so you start this branch of this company, and you're the only employee of Solid Passers. So, and that started January 2020.
January 1st, 2021.
Oh, 2021. All right. So, walk us through this year. How has it been? What have been the things that you've learned right out of the gate here?
Well, I've learned
where to begin. Right?
Yeah, I've learned what I'm not good at. I think one of the hardest parts was learning how my time is best spent, even though you're responsible for every side of the business. So when I didn't have much business, it was a lot easier. I didn't have any clients. and you go, oh, today I'm going to work on the website, or today I'm going to work on this, you know, and you have kind of this like, oh, I'm making progress. Look, I worked on that. Everything is kind of non-urgent, but important. You can do development. Once I had 10 or 15 clients, and I've got several coaches, and I've got receipts, and I'm doing QuickBooks, and I'm doing HubSpot, your time starts to, you're doing all the things, and you're doing social media, all the, your time constraints change. And so I've been more recently trying to ask the question, what is it that only I can do? And what is my best contribution to this company?
Truly.
Because everything, you know, you can just follow the email chain all day. You can get on LinkedIn all day, or, you know, and just follow connections. You could do network connections and get nothing else done. So I think one of the things I've learned is to try to prioritize my time, even outside of electronics. You know, I like write on a piece of paper on a 3x5 note card. These are my meetings and these are my priorities for the day. Otherwise, you feel productive following all your emails. But is that really your best contribution? Probably not. Not that I do it well every day. That's just a learning that I have learned.
I got to tell you, Greg, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that is one of the greatest, I don't know if I want to call it traps, but it's almost like the path of least resistance that human beings fall into. It is, there are a lot of things, especially in today's tech world, where it really can feel like you're being productive and you can feel like you're doing. One of the things that a lot of the clients that we work with run into is they become like creators, right? And they will, you know, they will make courses and manuals and worksheets and all stuff. And it's really, really cool. But then there's nobody there to look at them. And it's like, at what point do you have to put down the creative hat and turn on the marketing machine and the sales and things like that. And I'm a member of HubSpot as well. And you can get really lost in all that data and segmentation and the HubSpot Academy and stuff. Like, there's all sorts of stuff there, and it can really feel like you're doing it. And when I first started my business, I had that realization with social media. Like, I was creating posts and content and, you know, trying to, you know, have a social media presence to get followers. And at some point you just have the come to Jesus moment where it's like, I gotta get somebody to buy this thing. So I'm really glad that you said that. So you started looking at things like writing things down for, like, in outside of tech. What else have you learned to be a high priority task that kind of gets lost in the shuffle for you?
Thinking about your business and the direction of your business on a bigger scale, which is something I love to do, gets completely lost in the complexity of communication. I've got a board, I've got clients, I've got coaches, I've got contractors. And so I am overly responsible. So all the things that have to get done seem to be the most important, which crowds out time for thinking and dreaming about where you're actually going. And there was a whole season where I just crunched through all the things, try to keep up, things keep coming in, and a friend of mine was just like, okay, so I see you're doing all that, but at what cost? Like, what's it costing you as a person and as a business? Like, where are you going? You know? And so I think that's the biggest thing that gets crowded out, is segmenting out just thinking time about the future of the business. Now, obviously there's a rational boundary to that, but when you crowd it completely out, you find yourself demotivated, discouraged, run down, and the vision, you know, I would say the level of passion and vision starts to like winnow down, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Greg, I got a question for you, man. How did you come up with that?
Running my head against a wall a bunch of times. You know, you walk through the pain, right? I mean, like, you walk through enough pain and you honestly reflect where you are enough times to enough people. And someone said to me that question, like, at what cost are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and I had to, and so it stopped me to actually pause and reflect, to take a pivot and go, hey, if you as the leader and the only employee, if you're losing passion for it, that actually equals the business is losing passion for it. It's not just you, like you are the business at this moment. So
yep.
If your routine, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be responsible, but if your routine is crowding out any time for you to refuel, dream, vision cast, then the business itself is losing energy for that.
I'm on so many levels. I'm glad you brought this up, and I think it's unbelievable to come right after talking about the things that make you feel productive, because I'm the exact same way. And the way that I went down that rabbit hole was the classic self-help book, Think and Grow Rich. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine, you know, years ago, and it took me a long time, much like you said, where it's like when I first read it, I was like, that's weird, I'm not doing that. And you travel down the road enough and you have enough reflection and you have enough failures and struggles where it's like eventually you get to this point where you're more willing to do things you weren't willing to do in the past. Every single day, I do this thing that I call Amish hour up here, up north. I don't think it's they have them down in Texas, but the Amish, no technology, right? They're horse and buggy down the road, fireplace at home. There's no iPads or anything like that. So every day I spend 1 hour pretending I'm Amish, where I just sit out here, really look out this window and just try to think. And I have notepads and no iPads and stuff like that, where I really just sit and focus. And what I found, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, is that there is significantly more ROI in just thinking as opposed to doing, as long as it's good focused thought. Because if you come up with a really good idea, if you come up with an irresistible offer, if you come up with the right plan of action that's going to get you to reach whatever goal that you have set, then the ROI on it will be 100 times, 1,000 times than if you just keep repeating the same tasks over and over again. So I coach everybody to just think, like, if you think of the irresistible offer, if you can think of how to overcome those objections, all of a sudden all of these doors open, and it had nothing to do with posting more on social media. Is this resonating with you? Is this kind of like what you've been going with too?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm a highly relational person, having been a pastor for 30 years. And so then you take this highly relational brand ambassador, relational connector leader, and you go, hey, you're going to be in a home office and lead this thing by yourself. Your founder lives in Panama. You don't have anybody you work with.
Wow.
And so you've got this big disconnect. So I've got to find ways to create energy around understanding yourself. Not everybody is like that. Some people are in a, you know, crowded space and they need more alone time. You know, it's okay, but that's what I needed. And so recapturing this energy revolves around thinking. And yeah, so I think that's really meaningful.
No doubt. Greg, who do you look up to in business and leadership, and who are the leaders that you follow?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of Adam Grant. He talks about work-life balance a lot. I mm-hmm. think a lot of Patrick Lencioni talks about organizational health, not just, you know, quick fixes. So I think those are two really good leaders that bring thought to bear. You know, I read Seth Godin.
He's good.
And stuff like that. I mean, I'm a marketing major, so I lean towards some of that. When I'm worried about like copywriting, I follow this guy named Dave Gerhardt, who does all kinds of things just related to copy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are just some things that come to mind off the top of my head.
Gotcha. I'm curious to your question or your, I got to tell you, so a lot of these questions that I have down here, based on where we've gone, they're going right out the window. Like, we're going to go down rabbit hole now.
Yeah.
But I don't how familiar are you with like the Napoleon Hill stuff? And I mean, even like Tony Robbins and those kind of guys. Like,
yeah, Tony Robbins. Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, those are probably the guys, Napoleon Hill, Tony Robbins. I really like Ray Dalio a lot as well. And exploring these rabbit holes. And I actually really like the stuff from like the old times, like 1800s, like early 1900s, because to me, it's like this has stood the test of time, right? Like these are things right. that are just timeless techniques that work. And one of the things that I kept seeing everywhere, like a lot, was they would always say, they would refer back to the greatest teacher, the carpenter from Nazareth. And I would always be like, man, like, is that really what that is? Like, and I'm like looking at it and I see it. And I would say maybe about a year and change ago, I ended up buying the Bible. I've gone to church, grew up Catholic, and I went to church every weekend. And so I'm very familiar with what goes on there, but I never looked at it from those eyes. And I ended up buying this book by, what's his name? Irwin McManus. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, Irwin McManus. Yeah, no, one of my favorite books. Yeah, is so, by him. Yeah.
What book?
Seizing Your Divine Moment.
Okay.
By Irwin McManus.
Oh, that sounds really good. I should check that one out. That sounds awesome. I've read The Genius of Jesus. I just checked that one out. And the way he explains he kind of translates a lot of the passages in the Bible. And where my head is at right now is that the Bible, however you want to look at it, really actually is, in my opinion, the best self-help book out there. And, you know, I think a lot of it, you don't even have to look at it from a religious context, like just the way that Jesus approaches all these different situations and hardships in his life kind of goes against how most people would approach it. I know that a lot of people look to the Bible for like prosperity and wealth and things like that. My opinion, I want to know your thoughts on it, is like, however you're looking at it, that seems to be where all of these other things, like I like think that's how where Tony Robbins, like all his stuff is rooted there, and Napoleon Hill stuff is rooted there. Have you had similar thoughts? You know, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. As a believer in Jesus, he's the most important thing in my life. I begin every day reading the Bible. I listen to a podcast that kind of reflects on what it means, and then have my own personal relationship with Jesus. I think he's the best leader there ever was. And if you believe what scripture teaches, you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who is also omnipotent, meaning he is all powerful. He's also omniscient, which means he knows everything. So the idea right now, for instance, in coaching, a lot of people do, and I do as well, offer assessments to people. The purpose of an assessment is so they'd be more aware of how you're wired and how you're lean, right? Well, Jesus knows everything. He knows everything about you. You don't have to do an assessment. Like, so there could be no greater, more informed perspective than the person who created you. There could be no more clear perspective about who you are than the person who created you and created all humanity. So he doesn't have to like learn about your idiosyncrasies or about humanity, because he already knows them. So I think, you see Jesus leading in ways that are counterintuitive, because Jesus has a different perspective than anyone else. It isn't about what's happening in the moment or this day or the task list. It's about transforming humanity.
Man, I had absolutely no idea that we were going to go down this road. I swear. Maybe I should have after doing my homework and stuff. But I'm like, this is the coolest stuff to me. So, what one of the things that I tried to do was like any book. I picked up the Bible and I opened to page one, and I started going. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. It gets it's a grind there in the beginning. So
Levitical laws are a little dicey.
Yeah, man. I was all in. Like, I'm a mentally tough guy. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna read the Bible, and it was tough. I don't know how far I got, but it certainly did not get through the whole thing. What do you think? Are there recommended areas that you would recommend somebody start with, or like cool stuff? I think at one point I moved into the New Testament, tried to do some of the Gospels and stuff like that. Do you have any recommendations to somebody traveling down that path for the first time?
Yeah, if you've thought about, if you're interested at all, thought about a relationship with Jesus, or just finding out what it's all about, I think the simplest thing to do is to read the book of John. Just read the book of John. It's one of the Gospels. John was a disciple. So you read the book of John and you'll see a story, you know, the accounting of Jesus' life and ministry. You'll get a sense for what Jesus' purpose is on the earth, and it'll give you a good sense of, you know, if it's something that you want to pursue.
Awesome. I'm 100% going to do that. And then I'll have to come back to you and ask you what's next on the radar. So I really do appreciate that, because that is something that has been on my mind, and I've really looked much more to that direction. You know, it's funny, as a kid, like I went to church every weekend, and, you know, as a kid being forced to go to church, you know, you're just kind of, your back's up against the wall when mom's making you do it. And over time I feel myself just going closer and closer and coming back. So I really, really cool stuff. And I'm really glad we connected, especially over that. So just bringing it, tying it back into the world of entrepreneurship. But I'm curious, with now that the first full year, full entrepreneurship is essentially come and gone now for you and Solid Pastors, what are the things that you're currently working on? What are the challenges that you're currently faced with? And more importantly, what is your process in how you're looking to overcome that?
Yeah, you know, year one. Again, I feel like year one, I've been stewarding someone else's business.
Sure.
To get it to stability. And now we have a sense of, I would call it, I don't know, stability. And I feel like year two is, now I feel the freedom just to make it my own, to live it out in a little different way. A little less, you know, concerned about the day to day and trying to build something that makes a long-term impact. Mm-hmm. I think one of the exercises someone challenged me to do early on, a friend of mine who's a business coach, it's called the buckets exercise. So, I mean, I'm doing everything, but the buckets are normal buckets of any business. You know, you've got accounting, sales, fundraising, marketing, social media, fulfillment, product service, team building. You've got all these buckets of things that you're in charge of, all of them. And he said to me this, okay, you've got all these buckets you're managing. Think about, if your company grows and has resources, which is the next one you will give away to someone else? And even if the answer is I don't have money to give any of them away, identify who are volunteers or subject matter experts that you can already begin putting in those slots. Because you need to identify, you know, 5 years from now, which one of the buckets are you going to be, like, where are you going to be leading? And so that's helped me probably more than anything else think about the future. I've already given away, like, accounting. I still enter my receipts, but I have somebody.
That's the first one to go.
Somebody who's smarter than me, you know. So I've given that away. I've given away most of the social media. I'm giving away some of the marketing functions, as you know, that are super technical. So that's been the most helpful for me to think about, because in the entrepreneurial journey, when you're just overloaded with all this stuff, you've got to see a day to where you're going to be living more in your sweet spot, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course.
And when you can see the path clearly, like, oh, I would hire this person, even if it's for 10 hours a week, at least it gets you down the road, if that makes sense. So that's been helpful to me. I just been a helpful exercise.
Have you always been very cerebral and thought oriented, and or is this something that you've developed and cultivated, you know, within the last year, especially entrepreneurship as a way of really fast forwarding things? But you know, is this something that you've always been? Because I'll tell you this, and this is why I ask. Like, this has been, I've always been a thoughtful guy, and not in the sense that I give great gifts, which, you know, you can ask my girlfriend whether or not I do that. But, you know, I think that I've just been always somebody who is comfortable in my own head and thinking through things. But entrepreneurship has really made me explore that and become better and do it differently. And my sense is that most people avoid thought. You know, one of the things that really stands out to me, Greg, is here in New York City, get on the subway. And a lot of times, like, it's like a challenge for me. Subway ride from 33rd Street back to my spot is about 16 minutes or so. And it's tough to just stand there and just be in your own thoughts. And like, I do it because I want to, and I want the challenge, and I try to think about stuff like that. Like, where am I going? Like, try to sort things out in my head. And I look around the subway car, and everybody is on their phone. They're listening to a podcast. They are, also playing games, reading books. Like, there's all sorts of things. And when I see that, I'm like, man, like, I feel like a lot of people try to avoid being alone with their thoughts. And again, as an entrepreneur, I find that to be one of the highest ROI activities that you can have. So my question, really, the reason I ask is because I want to know, is that a natural talent that you've had, or is that something that you've cultivated over time?
I think I'm naturally somewhat strategic, but there's a guy, a pastor friend of mine, or this will relate. He says this about reading the Bible, but it could be true with anything. He says this, we all have need to know and need to grow moments in life. And so when faced with I'm in this situation, I need to grow, you figure it out. You know, you did not think about these things when you were not in charge of it. When I was an employee at a church that had 1,000 other staff members, I wasn't thinking about the eight buckets of leadership, because I was only in charge of one thing, you know. So I think I've had to grow in that area, because it's been a need to grow moment as I figure out what's next, ask wise people for insight, and use it as best you can.
Sure. Sure. Okay. So I had one more question, but I'm gonna throw a bonus one in here, because I'm just popped into my head, and I'm curious to get your take on it. So I'll show you in my pocket all the time right now.
I have this note card. It says, faith over fear. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I have that is because all of the great, like, successes in my life, like the moments where I like made a lot of money, or just some things have gone like really, really well, typically they have all been born from a place of failure, like a low, a rock bottom per se, where I was just like, oh man, I got nothing. I have nothing going. I have no signs of making any money coming here in the future. I have to figure it out. And as I broke that, down and really thought about it, and I was like, what do all these, big events in my life have in common? And I don't know exactly where I saw the faith over fear mantra, but they were saying, like, at some point you can't let fear influenced the decision making, and in those moments, like, I couldn't sit back and be like and wonder whether or not my strategy was effective. I couldn't wonder whether or not, like, what were people think of me if I put this thing out there, right? And it was simply like, I don't have a choice, and I got nothing else here, so I have to just pick something and go with it. And I've, knock on wood, I'm 100%, every time I've done that, it's 100% effectiveness, where it has turned into something amazing. So my question is, as the business consultant, I'm like, how do you do that? How do you manufacture that without the bad part, right? Without the rock bottom, without the struggle. And to me, it's like, you have to have the understanding that it's faith over fear, and understand that fear is, I say, accept it and expect it. It's always going to be there. But when you have the faith on top of that, you don't let the fear part influence your decision-making. That to me is the path to creating what you're looking to create. And of course, it won't be a straight path, never is. But so the question I have for you is, what is your take on that, man? And what, like, from the faith over fear side, and I'm sure you have a different perspective than I do from the faith side, how does that intertwine with everything that you know and you work on?
Yeah, fear is real. We all experience fear. As believers, we experience fear. The disciples of Jesus experienced fear. I just walked with a client today through some things he was worried about. We did an exercise to look back over the last 18 months and evaluate, you know, highs and lows. And one of his takeaways was, you know what, man, things are actually better than I thought they were. Fear is many times based in the short term and kind of subjective emotions. And so, yeah, our faith, it has to be rooted in something. In my belief, you know, our faith has to be rooted in something beyond ourselves. So like Erwin McManus, you mentioned, I have it on my signature thing. One of my favorite quotes is Erwin McManus says this, courage is not the absence of fear. It's the absence of self. When you begin to do something greater than yourself, then you begin to live courageously. And so there has to be a foundation, a cause for which I am moving forward. Because I mean, think about people who do, not the CrossFit, like, you know, the races, the Spartan races, yeah, or whatever. There has to be a cause, a greater than my concern. So the cause has to be something worthwhile. And so I have to be reminded of that. And so when I personally connect with Jesus every day through prayer and, you know, Bible reading or whatever, I'm reminded of the cause that I'm serving, which is to help pastors lead longer, leave a greater legacy. And so that's where the faith comes in. How are you connecting with the foundation that is immovable in your life? Fear is temporal, about like what's going to happen to me. But so that's kind of how I think about it in a larger scale.
Wow. So I'm going to write this down now. It is, fear is what's going to happen to me. That's what I think Tony Robbins says. When you're afraid, when you're scared, you're thinking about yourself, is what's going to happen to me. And what you're looking for is that cause so that you can be bigger than that. Man, that is good. I got to tell you, I had no anticipation of going down these rabbit holes today. Truly did not. Like, I have pretty embarrassingly generic questions on my sheet here, but I'm so glad that we didn't stick to them, because this selfishly, this was exactly the stuff that I'm working on. And I assume that you can probably relate to this. I don't think it is by accident that we're connecting here, and that is, you know, that to me is the best part of all of this. Last question for you, Greg, is for the entrepreneurs who are out there and they're just getting started. They're trying to figure this whole absolute chaotic world out. You know, what advice would you lend to somebody who's looking to have that breakthrough to make this thing a sustainable entity, so that they can have that freedom in the future that they've, you know, they want to create?
Yeah, don't lose the thing that you love. Don't lose the reason that you began. Again, I'm a relational vision caster type person, and you immediately get overwhelmed with all the administration, all the things, all the technology. And my friend told me, it's like a boat, but you're back in the engine room, and you got to get out of the engine room. You can't be back there repairing the electrical panel, because otherwise the ship may be even going off course. So, it's natural to feel overwhelmed. It's natural to feel overmatched by all the things. And it's natural to be paralyzed by the wide variety of options that you have. There's no end to things you could do. So that is normal if you're feeling that. Isolate on the things that you are most passionate about, and know that you're called to be unique, not to follow everybody else's path. And when you do that, you're being faithful, and it'll be blessed.
Absolutely outstanding. Greg, thank you so much for your time today. Genuinely grateful for you know, spending, I don't know, 40 minutes or so, 35 minutes with us. This is going to help a lot of people. I already know it's helped one, and that's me. So I'm genuinely grateful for that. Where can people find you if they want to reach out, they want to chat and just say hi and support what you do?
Yep. You can find me online at solidpastors.org on our website. You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook at Greg Ligon, or Greg S. Ligon, I think is my actual handle, but you can find me there. And I'd love to connect in any way to serve you, or just to chat and connect.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Greg. This has been the Leadership Difference. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you back here for the next one.
You're listening to the Sean Light Podcast, helping grow your fitness business revenue to six figures and beyond.
Okay, so real quick, I wanted to add this super important note to everything that we discuss here in this podcast. Now, most strength and conditioning coaches, when they decide to open up their own business, they do so for one of two reasons. Either one, wherever you were working before, you looked around and you realized you were the best. You realized that your programming was the best, your clients were getting the best results, that you were the one staying up late, investing in your education, reading books and going to seminars on the weekends. You were the best. And if you just took control of the day-to-day operations and the programming that was happening on the training floor, that the experience for everyone involved would just be significantly better. So you opened your own business. Or you wanted the freedom and the flexibility to operate, coach who you wanted, coach when you wanted. Maybe you took to the internet to take advantage of all the opportunity there, or maybe you opened a small practice, or maybe you became an independent contractor and started working at one of those independent contractor gyms. Whatever you decided to do, however you did it, the moment you decide to open up your own business, you are confronted with a whole host of problems. A host of problems that you did not have before. Now, maybe you did some light selling wherever you were at before, but it wasn't like this. Now you're met with the challenges of a CEO. Now you're met with the challenges of cash flow, marketing, customer acquisition, lifetime value of the customer, net margin, gross profit, all of these different things that you don't know anything about. And all of a sudden, it's the only thing that matters, because if you don't keep the lights on in the business, you can't train anybody. So all of a sudden, you start shifting from being a coach to being a business person, to being a CEO, to being an entrepreneur. And maybe that's not what you want, because you opened up the business to train people. You opened up the business to serve people at a higher level, to do the things that you've already loved. Now, what you want to get to is you want to get to the point where you can do that again. And the only way to get back there is to install proven systems. It's the only way to make that happen. Most coaches, they fly by the seat of their pants every single day, posting on Instagram, hoping to get a dollar here, a dollar there, a new client here, a new client there. And maybe they'll stumble on some luck and it'll become consistent. But that never happens. The only way to do it is to install proven systems that work, so that once the installation is complete, 90% of your time can go back to running, to being a strength coach, to training people, to investing in yourself and doing the things that you love, serving the people that you love to serve, right? And then 10% of your time can be dealing with the business and the management of the advertising systems in the ever-changing world of marketing. But the only way to do it truly is to institute these systems. And we've created a system here called the Weight Room Wealth System that is designed specifically for people like you, for coaches who went out on their own, realized the bear that is business, and had to figure it out on their own. The good news is that we figured it out, and we want to give it all to you. We want to give it all to you today for free. All you got to do is go to weightroomwealth.com, and we're going to give you a completely free offer, and we're going to jam pack it with over $6,000 of ridiculous bonus content. So give me 1 second here, and I want to tell you everything that's involved with this program. First, every single month, to your door, to your actual physical mailbox, we're going to deliver to you a real newsletter that is filled with all of the best tips, lessons, strategies, blueprints that are working right now for our business, our personal private clients, and the other members of the community who have written in and who have volunteered to share and who are doing really amazing things. We're going to deliver those strategies to your doorstep so you can see it, you can set it aside, you can highlight in it, you can make notes in it, and then you can immediately, which is the most important part, install it into your business. You're going to get that every single month to your doorstep, all right? Secondly, is you're going to get the 30-day Changemaker Training Program. What we have found is that the entrepreneurs who are committed to their own strength and conditioning training programs that are now meeting the needs, the physical demands of being an entrepreneur, which you know exist, These are the folks that are having the most results. So what we want to do is we want to put together a program every single month, a four-week training program that is designed to meet the needs of an entrepreneur. And as a community, we go through it together. We, you know, we feed off of each other's energy, and it acts as a mastermind. And you get that every single month as part of the Weight Room Wealth newsletter. You're also going to get access to the 14-day low-hanging fruit challenge. This 14-day challenge is designed to show you all of the places inside of your business that you didn't realize you were missing out a ton of cash flow in. Most people who join this challenge end up making anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 in the first 2 weeks extra on top of what they've already making. And the best part about this challenge is it's evergreen. You can continue to run it over and over and over again to pick up these loose ends and pick up this low-hanging fruit so that you can quickly increase the cash flow inside of the business. Next, you have the Miracle Morning Transformation System. There is a myth in the entrepreneurial world that you have to work 45 hours a day, wake up early, go to bed late, and do everything imaginable to grind it out and hustle. And that is not true at all. The Miracle Morning Transformation System is going to show you exactly how to get everything you need done and then some in your business before noon, so that once 12 noon hits, you can go out and you can be a strength coach. We want to show you the difference in the quantum leap that you can take by only working until noon. Okay, so that's the Miracle Morning Transformation System. The next thing that you're going to get is the Do Now Sprint. The Do Now Sprint is immediately upon clicking submit and joining the Weight Room Wealth community. You're going to get access to the Do Now Sprint, which is going to show you exactly what to do now. Immediately follow these steps so that you can take immediate instant actions and start seeing results as soon as possible. That's the Do Now Sprint. And these are the last two things that we have on here are ridiculously valuable bonuses that we've added to the program because we really want to see you get the best results. We're genuinely committed to serving this community because we're part of this community and we want to see you get the results. So you're going to get quarterly intensives, four times a year, you're going to get a free seminar. As long as you're a member of this community, you're going to get a free seminar where you can come on, you can ask questions, we'll give you the strategy, we'll give you up-to-date stuff, and we'll walk you through all of the things that are working right now. And then lastly, you're going to get the golden ticket. The golden ticket is any Weight Room Wealth in-person seminar that we run as part of this company. All you have to do is show up at the door, flash this ticket, and we will take you to the VIP members only section of this seminar completely free of charge. The golden ticket is for anybody who joins this community, gets complimentary access to any in-person seminar that we do, as long as you're a member of this program, okay? So just to recap, that is the monthly Weight Room Wealth newsletter, the 30-day Changemaker training program, the 14-day low-hanging fruit challenge, Miracle Morning Transformation System, the Do Now Sprint, quarterly intensives, the golden ticket. That's a grand total, folks, of $6,179. All you got to do is go to weightroomwealth.com right now, sign up completely for free, test it out for 30 days. If you love it, great. If not, you can cancel it at any time, and it'll be no charge to you. Weightroomwealth.com. Learn how to install the Weight Room Wealth system into your business so you can get back to doing the things that you love. Now it's time to get back to the podcast.
You're listening to the Sean Light Podcast, helping grow your fitness business revenue to six figures and beyond. Did you know you can work one-on-one with Sean for free for 30 days to help you build your fitness business? If you want to learn more about how to take advantage of our 30-day runway coaching program, head over to 4acoaching.com and schedule your free momentum call. That's the number 4acoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for the next episode of the Sean Light Podcast.